Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but it's how to make you successful. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for watching the show on the social media sites. We live stream the show 12 p.m. Pacific every weekday. Man, it is one of those days where I am just absolutely exhausted. I had 10 meetings just back to back to back all day long, and most of them were meetings that I just could not even check out of, that I had to actually participate, facilitate, and be involved in. And let me tell you, when you go through meetings like that, you just want to take your brain out and throw it in the trash can, because what purpose can your brain, or what use can your brain be the rest of the day? No idea. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want me to talk about, anything you want to discuss with me privately, keep it between just you and me. You can find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. Really appreciate a follow, especially if you want to hear today and find out who I am going to be talking about. I'm not going to give you their names, but if you follow me on Twitter or read my tweets, you'll be able to figure it out. So you really want to follow me on Twitter right now. You can also find me on YouTube, How to Build a Tent. You can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com. Love to hear from you. In a lot of great discussions, got into some good military strategy, World War II history. I love that stuff, and I'm glad some of you out there love it as well. Before we get into that topic, we have a few things. One, as always, you know we're part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to Fight Laugh Feast, put in HTBT in the memo field, and you will get the sweet mug that I'm drinking out of right now. If you can tell my voice is a little raspy, it's because I've been talking all day. If you go over to fightlaughfeast.com, become a member, not only do you get that sweet mug, not only do you get an amazing Proverbs series, tons of exclusive content, but you also get to join and be a part of what the Lord's doing as He blesses this network, as He continues to grow it, and just continues to put us in amazing opportunities that are just such a blessing to have. I can't tell you how much of a blessing it is to have the privilege to speak to you every weekday. If you enjoy the show, if you benefit from all the other shows in the network, think about becoming a member. Pray about it. Pray for us. And get that sweet mug, HTBT in the memo field. Yesterday, the stock market kind of took a dump around the world, actually. It's because that International Monetary Fund, they revised their growth estimates down. The fund says it expects the world economy to grow by 3.3% this year, and that's down from 3.5%. So people are really taking that news and selling their stocks, apparently. And it's amazing how emotional the stock market is around the world with this those kinds of things. And the IMF did add, which is the abbreviation for the International Monetary Fund, that it expects the economy to expand by 3.6% by 2020, or in 2020, however. So not necessarily signaling a trend downward, but slow down this year and then to pick up again next year, which probably will be revised down, who knows. But the important thing is that you are investing in quality companies and making opportunities for yourselves based off of the fear that is in the market. Fear and emotional selling and emotional buying too, on the other hand, like Lyft was and the other IPOs are in the very beginning, can be a great opportunity for you to be a wise, educated investor to make your money. All right, today I'm just gonna vent a little bit. We're friends, right? You know me. I know some of you, if you reached out to me, some of you are still strangers. If you don't wanna be a stranger, reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you and get to know you better. And I want to talk to you about a really bad experience my wife and I have had over the last couple of weeks. As I shared before, I was telling you we're going to be moving to Florida, like the longest move I've ever made from Hawaii to Florida. And we're looking for some churches. That's why I mentioned it before. So if you have any good recommendations in Florida, let me know. And one of the things that you do when you look to buy a house is you get a pre-approval that lets the buyer or the sellers of the homes know you're legit and they don't think you're just, you know, window shopping or whatever the equivalent of window shopping is for homes. And it's something really serious. So we were getting a pre-approval from a company that I really actually even recommended to a lot of people. And this experience, let me tell you, was terrible. One of the lenders that I have a good experience with that we didn't go with this time just because their rates were a little higher than other places was USAA. But let me tell you something about USAA. They give great customer experience. Their applications, their insurance for other things, for like their car insurance. We have car insurance with them. And all their other just processes and their customer service is phenomenal. Their user experience on their website, their workflows are phenomenal. And I can't say enough about USAA as far as the customer service experience. And let me tell you, I would rather go with that USAA as a lender. If it was between USAA, their customer experience, their quality of service, and a higher price versus this lender who has a lower price, that is interest rate, closing costs, all that stuff. And the service I got, I would take USAA every day. But because there's more than just two lenders and we live in a capitalist society with multiple competitors, I was able to get both good customer service. I went with a private small lender and they have been amazing. And it's really cool actually to see how they've been able to personalize the experience opposed to a big national lender. And like when they gave me a quote, they didn't just email me a fee sheet, but they created a video where he explained and walked through with him on the side and then sharing his screen as well, and able to walk through the fee structure, what the fees are, what they mean, what can be changed, what can be waived. And I was just really impressed from a technology standpoint of how he's able to utilize the technology, but also the customer care was great. And that just goes to show you that if you are looking to buy a home, make sure you're shopping around, not just for price, but also for the customer experience. And if you're having a hard time with a lender, go somewhere else. The fees and the discount on the rate can't be that good compared to other lenders, because there's so many out there where you have to endure terrible customer service, terrible experience. And so I want to go through some of these details with you, not just because I need a shoulder to cry on or because I want to complain. I'm not even telling you their names. I don't really like to do that unless it's a really terrible experience. And yeah, this is terrible, but I don't know. I don't want to be malicious. But I want us to learn from this experience, because there are things that we can take from the scenario and think about ourselves. What can I do differently? Or how can I improve my business? Or how would I handle this if I'm in a customer service role? What can I have done differently? Or maybe I do that too. And you're right, that response isn't probably the best, or that action wasn't the best course to take. And I need to revise that in my own career. And that is why I want to go through this, because I think there's a lot of good learning experiences from this. So the first thing I will tell you about this lender, and the first bad part of the experience for me and my wife, just to give you some background, we have an account with them where we're on the account together. We have separate login credentials like you would expect. And we decided to go through my wife's login, and we logged in, but I'm the signer on the account. I'm the one who makes the money, and I was going to be the one on the loan. And we filled out the application online. It was a pretty good experience. The application process was not bad. And I go through it, put in all my information, and we submit it. And it says it should wait up to 48 hours. And we applied on a weekend, so we were expecting Monday or Tuesday to get an answer back. Well, it turns out that it was a really big deal, even though we have a shared account, that we used my wife's login credentials and my information, and I was on the loan. It was such a big deal that the application had to be canceled, it had to be delayed, and all the information had to be taken from that application and put onto this new application, and it caused a tremendous amount of delays. And this was a big deal for us because we put an offer on a house. And we were saying that we were in the process of getting our approval. And when you don't have that, it's not taken seriously. And sometimes it can be dependent on going under contract, is the pre-approval letter. And that is something we wanted so that we could come to an agreement and we wouldn't be competing with any other offers. And it was a really big deal. And for that whole week, we were fighting with them. And that's the number one thing that you never want a customer to feel like. You don't want a customer to feel like they're fighting with you. And I understand that can be a challenge especially in national companies who have large processes and a large bureaucracy. But and to the best of your ability as an individual, as an employee, as your own business, you want to take away any excuse or any reason for a customer to feel like they're fighting with you. It felt like we were pulling teeth. And I don't know if it just happens to be a perfect storm in this situation or not, but it still, it was a terrible experience for us. And we're not even going to go with them. They lost our business because of it. But I would just want to say this about it. If it was such a big deal that we needed to log in with my credentials for me to be on the loan, despite it being a shared account, then the process of the application should have made it aware that, hey, I see two people on the account. Are both signers going to be on the account? If not, does the signer that we're logged into, are they going to be on the account? If not, then it needs to, you need to sign into another account. There needs to be some workflow there that lets the people know that they got to stop and go to the next, go to sign into the other profile, or have both profile people sign in with their own accounts to do the joint application. If it's that big of a deal where the whole application has to be canceled and refiled, then there needs to be some workflow on that. And there is no excuse for workflow issues. There's no excuse for technical issues on websites when it's a streamlined service, when it's your core functionality, to have those workflow issues. Now, I understand when you can have like glitches and you have bugs and you have updates that need to be fixed and there needs to be patches. That is understandable. But a core process, you need to be thinking through these things. This cannot be the first time that a joint account applies under somebody, their other person, the counterpart on the account's credentials, and have them as the buyer and the loan applicant. It can't be the first time for an international lender. And yet it's still an issue. And that caused a multiple day delay. And especially when you get towards the end of the month, I'm thankful that this wasn't something that was urgent as far as needing to lock in an interest rate by the end of the month. But in those cases, like, you can lose a lot of business that way, especially when you're applying for multiple loans. And this is this isn't just true for lenders, but your process should be as flawless as possible, as smooth as possible, especially if you're an e-commerce site, especially if you're doing business and you're not interacting with the customer, but they are going through an automated process. You want it to be flawless, and there's just no excuse for it anymore. We are so far down the digital transformation, the digital economy, that it's just expected for all of those issues to be flagged, roadblocked, warning signs, indicating that something needs to be done. And it's not like I'm some stupid person who doesn't understand this stuff, right? I'm a consultant, I'm a business person, I have an MBA, I have started businesses, I've created processes, I've revamped processes. Like, you would think that somebody like that would be able to figure it out, you know, based on how easy you've made it. But if you've made it so complicated that someone like me can't even do it, like, there's tons of people, and that sounds really terrible, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be condescending at all, but there's like people that aren't in the industry, that aren't familiar with it. Like, those people are at a far more disadvantage than I am, who's been in the industry and is educated and have worked on these kinds of things. The second bad experience we had was just handling the aftermath of that. Our loan officer was out for 3 days, that's fine, but then decided to hand it off to the assistant. The assistant didn't do what the loan officer asked to have handed off. If you are gonna hand off something to your employee, you need to have employees where you can be confident enough for it to get done. And it didn't happen. We had to follow up, email, call, and we've called throughout. Again, we were battling, and we were calling and emailing multiple times, not getting responses. We finally got a response. They were saying there was this big issue with their credit application, and they were giving me a whole bunch of excuses, giving us a whole bunch of excuses. And it was just a terrible, terrible experience with that. And even if there are excuses, this is another thing too that I wanted to really point out. If there is a process that you depend on, a vendor that you depend on, an integration, like if you're a lender and you're waiting for credit approval, to the best of your ability, you should have plans of action where if something goes wrong, how are you going to handle these situations? And it just seems like they have no plan for it. It's like, oh, the system's down, we can't do anything. And so we just didn't respond, we didn't pick up the phone, we didn't answer your calls, we didn't respond to your emails because, oh, our system down and we were overwhelmed. And so it would behoove you, it would do you well if you, even as an employee, you'd look really good to your managers, to your bosses, or as someone who owns the company, your company will look better than your competitors. If you have backup plans, so when something like that happens, there's ways for you to assist, to accommodate, and to give customer service. You may not be able to complete the process, but at least you will have the pre-thought out plan on how to handle it and how to handle the customer and to give them a great experience where they'll want to stay with you and work with you through that. I guarantee you, even when issues happen that you can't control, how you handle the customer, how you treat them is going to make a world of difference. Because I was not getting the responses that I, from our phone calls, from our emails, I went to Twitter, and that's how, if you look at my Twitter, you'll be able to find out. And I have to say, though, the Twitter people at this lender did a really great job. They responded really quickly, which is great. If you have a social media account representing your business, you need to own that, because that is a direct reflection on your brand and how people perceive you, especially in today, and especially if your customer is millennial or younger. You need to make sure that you give great customer service there too, because that is a lot of the places where people are going to interact with you and your brand, your business, share, and that's how you're going to get word of mouth referrals, which is incredibly helpful and incredibly valuable. And I just have to say, they did a great job at that. So I'm not just totally bagging on this company. They did do some things great. Now they did the great thing. They answered my questions, they found out a little more, and then they took me off the public and had me DM them, which is something you want to do. You want to get angry customers and customers that are giving bad reviews or negative comments off the public sphere as fast as possible and get them into a direct message conversation where you can deal with them. It's not like you're ignoring them, but you're getting them away from other people being able to see. They did that very well. I didn't feel like I was just rushed off. And so I have to say kudos to them for that. But then I got a call the next day, I think it was, whenever. It wasn't long enough where I was like, oh, I can't believe they didn't follow up with me. So it was a good amount of time. This guy, he seemed knowledgeable, and it was funny. He kind of contradicted some of what the loan officer was saying about their system issues and things that the loan officer was saying. But then he said, I'm going to make sure they call you, because they still hadn't called me at that point, and I'm going to call you after they call you to make sure that your situation was handled. I'm like, perfect. Love it. Thank you so much. That is awesome. I'm glad I have somebody on my team from their company where I'm not fighting against them anymore. And you know what happens? They didn't call that day, and he never called me back. And eventually, we did get a call back from our loan officer, and the person was incredibly condescending, and I get it. You come back from your days off, whatever. You have a customer that's emailing you multiple times, calling you multiple times, in our defense, because we weren't hearing anything. We needed to get that done to make sure that our property was under contract and stayed under contract. And you get back, your systems aren't working, however big of a degree that was, who's to say. And then you have these people calling. I understand that you can be frustrated, irritated, you're having a bad day. But don't take that out on your customers. And let me tell you this too, and this is a good tip for success. And this is somebody who has dealt with these people a lot, have been in a lot of customer service roles. But if you want to be successful in achieving what you want to get when you call somebody and there's an issue that you need resolved, persistence and being annoying is going to be the way to go. And that's kind of counterintuitive to, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, be nice, treat others as you want to be treated. But let me tell you, the people that are persistent, that don't care what people think about them, and now I'm not talking about being rude or being hostile or being aggressive, but well, actually I am talking about being aggressive. Be aggressive, but not towards a person, but be assertive, I guess is a better word for it. The people that are assertive, that are going to continue following up, that don't mind leaving 5 voicemails, that don't mind leaving multiple emails when you're not getting a response, are the people that get the things that they're asking for far more than the nice people that concede, that are just bringing up a topic and then let it go away. Because for whatever reason, those are the people that are rewarded. So if you are a person that has a hard time with that, you need to figure out how you can overcome that problem. And when you have an issue that needs to be resolved, when you have a timeline, you need to push, push, and push. Be polite, be kind at the person, be persistent though, and continue to follow up until you get what you want. And if it comes to a point where you're being persistent and it just doesn't work out, then you go to another company. And that is basically the last straw for us. That when you start being the rude and condescending, you're not giving us customer service, when we are feeling like we are battling with you, like, what do you expect your customers to do? Especially when you're not the only game in town. There's thousands and thousands of lenders out there. If you are not going to be able to provide even just the average expectations of customer service, it doesn't even have to be great, but if you can't even do the minimum, then you're just not going to get the business. And that is the thing. Customer service is so important for a number of reasons. One, to survive in business, you need customer retention. Customer retention comes from having great service. Two, the cost of acquiring customers is far more than the cost of keeping customers. And if you want to be competitive and profitable, you are going to have a good customer retention rate. Okay. I hope that is beneficial to you and it wasn't just me venting. If you have any questions, comments about that, feel free to reach out to me, Matt, howtobuildatent.com or howtobuildatent, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.